And so we find ourselves today in interesting times and interesting circumstances. Even this service really depicts the kind of time that we're in. And so today I think about Christmas. And I'm thinking about why we should still celebrate Christmas. Maybe we're not in the mood for celebrating. I was listening to Good Morning Britain, and one of the presenters was saying that if Christmas is cancelled, all we'll be missing is a roast dinner. And I thought to myself, how wrong she is. Because Christmas really isn't about the trimmings that we're so used to in our society. Christmas is not about the roast turkey. It's not really about the present giving or the retail festival that it's become. But Christmas is about something else. And as Christians, we should be thinking about that something else. And so today I want to discuss why we should be celebrating Christmas. I have a couple of friends who I debate with all the time. And sometimes they get frustrated with me. And I get frustrated with them. One of them this week was saying to me why we shouldn't celebrate Christmas, because they believe that Christmas is pagan and that Christmas is a time when people didn't believe in God, and it's a celebration of the warrior Nimrod. And going on and on and on about all of that. So my argument was, well, if Christmas is pagan, as you say, who has made it pagan? What do you mean? What do you mean, Lola? What do you mean? Who has made it pagan? It was pagan. It was an original festival. I said, but who makes it pagan now? Surely it is what we do with Christmas that makes it what it is. And I said, and my argument was further developed, and I said, well, if you're going to take out Christmas because it's pagan, what are you going to do about the days of the week? What do you mean? What do you mean, Lola? What do you mean? Well, I said, the days of the week, the names of them are pagan. Monday, the day of the moon. And we relate this to madness. Comes from the word lunacy. Comes from relating it to the moon. And when you are touched by the moon, you are a little touched. You are quite mad. Tuesday is Twi, the god of mortal combat. Wednesday, Woden. And I could go on and on. Thursday, Thor. Friday, Freya, related to Venus. Are you going to stop using the days of the week? Or are you going to think about what you do on the days of the week? That has no bearing on Christmas, I was told. But today, my sermon is based on this scripture, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And let me read it. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Amen. We have reason to celebrate Christmas, even in these trying times, even in these difficult times. We have a reason to celebrate Christmas. And the first reason we have to celebrate Christmas is because Christmas is a manifestation of God's love. God gave his only begotten son, who was called Jesus. And through Christmas is a celebration of the advent of Christ into this world, entrance by human birth. Hallelujah. Jesus himself was given to us of God, a precious gift to humanity, so that we could be reconciled to God. We could come back in favor and in union with Almighty God. We could reconnect and have a new and renewed relationship with Almighty God. That is through the advent of Christ, the coming of Christ, through Christmas, through Jesus being born of the Virgin Mary, entrance into humanity. This was indeed a manifestation of God's love to his children. Hallelujah. You know, the other thing, the other reason why we need to celebrate Christmas is because Christ put on humanity for us. You know, we would cruelly reject him eventually. But the Messiah's birth, he wasn't born in a palace. He wasn't born into the upper echelons of society. He came into a lowly place. He came into a place that was fit for animals. He came in a place that was probably furnished with dry grass, that was furnished with animal feces. He came in that lowly position so that all could have access to him, so that nobody could say that Jesus is for me alone, Jesus is for this group or that group. But he came into the poor quarters of society so that he could live and reign in all of us, each and every one of us. And that is a cause of celebration today, that the Son of God took off his glory, took off his glorious image, his glorified form, put on human form, and came in the midst of us, became Emmanuel, God with us. Hallelujah. That is a cause of celebration. The third point I want to make is that celebrating Christmas is a time of open worship. When we celebrate Christmas, we are decreeing that God is here with us. And we do that through music. We do that through song. We do that in a number of ways, by the celebration of our lives, by our lives depicting who Christ is. The Apostle Paul says that we are living testimonies. We are living letters. We are walking letters to humanity. The angels sang when Christ was born. And we are encouraged in scripture to encourage each other with song, with music. We're encouraged to sing songs about him. We are encouraged to sing psalms. We're encouraged to make melody in our hearts. That is a time of celebration. So when we celebrate Christmas in music and in song, we are celebrating the living Christ. The living Christ that has been here and dwelt among men and among us. So we are openly in worship. Hallelujah. We celebrate by giving. I was listening to someone on the television actually today, and they were saying that a lot of the time people like to receive at Christmas, but really it's a time for us to give. And we shouldn't be giving to suit ourselves. Sometimes we give presents because it's what we want, really. You know, you heard the old story when a wife gets a vacuum cleaner, or she gets a cooking implement to encourage her to cook a bit more, or to encourage her to tidy up the house. The message is really from the sender. It's not really about the person receiving. But at Christmas, we're encouraged to give, not to be thinking about ourselves, but to think about the other. I remember years ago, and Steve knew me at this time as well, I was a working mother, and I had two sons that I was bringing up. I was holding down a number of jobs. Because you try and, when the children are younger, you have to try and make ends meet, and you have to do all kinds of things to make sure that their needs are met. And so I worked in social services. I did training on the side. And I did a lot of church work as well. So I had really had three occupations. And sometimes my housework went by the wayside. And one of my friends came to see me one day. And she said, I know what present I'm going to give you for Christmas. And I thought, gosh, what's she going to come up with now? What kind of present is this? Anyway, she turned up to my house early one morning with her apron, cleaning implements. She did all my ironing that was piling up. I wouldn't like to tell you what the room looked like, where the ironing was. She cleaned my kitchen, cleaned my dining room. And by the time she finished all of that, she was absolutely shattered. But that was her present to me. Because she knew that was what I needed. She didn't think about herself. She gave me something that I needed. And when we give at Christmas time, we need to think and replicate God's love. And think about that he gave his only begotten son, that we could be saved, and that we could be reconciled to him, that we could be reunited with him. God wasn't thinking about himself when he gave his only begotten son. He was thinking about us. He was thinking about humanity, and he was portraying the love that he has for humanity. So when we give at Christmas and when we celebrate through giving at Christmas, we celebrate God's love to humanity and we replicate that love in giving presents to each other and to people. And we shouldn't only be giving to people who we know, because that really defeats the object. But we should be giving to people who are in need. There are a couple of things that I've been doing recently, and particularly in the pandemic. One of the things is that I've been contributing to a community lunch. And that's been very challenging in this time. And our Christmas dinner was very challenging. And what we've been finding is that people who you don't even expect are coming to you who are in need. And so we've had to find ways to be able to give. Ways to really meet the needs of some of our communities. Ways to really provide dignity so that people are not ashamed to come and say that they're in need. We've had to think about how we reposition and reshape the service that we're giving so that we're not just centered around money or getting money or getting funds to do it. But we're thinking about how we can meet the wider needs of our community. We've also had to think about how we can become church in this pandemic. And lots of us have battled with this because we've not been able to have the fellowship in the way that we are used to having that fellowship. We think that we're not church. But church is a people. In Ephesians, the name church is called the ecclesia. The people. Hallelujah. So we can be the people. And we have a need to be the people in this pandemic. And being the people and being church in this pandemic is a way of celebrating Christmas and celebrating Christ, because we're standing out, not just doing the same old thing that we have been doing from time immemorial, but God, in his infinite mercy, will give us creativity, hallelujah, that we can really be creative in a time where needs are great, where the need is so great, but God's grace is sufficient to keep us and help us to be church in a time where people think that the church is falling apart, but is not, because the gates of hell, no pandemic will come, be able to come and stand against God's church. And so one of the ways that we celebrate is by being church in a time that people don't expect us to be church. That's one of the ways that we celebrate the Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. The way that we celebrate is by our lives. By our lives. By sharing. Still being community. On my road, there are a few people that know me that I didn't even realize that they know me. It's quite a tough position to be in. I said to someone the other day, but I'm so glad I wasn't doing anything untoward. I wasn't standing on my head. I wasn't dancing on the table. But I befriended a neighbor. They're a couple. They live across, directly opposite. And I noticed them when we used to come out and cheer the NHS. That was the first time I, Notice them. And they started talking to me. And I started talking to them. And Steve knows that I make jam. I make posh jam, which I call a conserve. Because I'm a snob. No, no, no. It's got a higher fruit content. That's what I tell myself. Anyway, I make conserves, jams, whatever you want to say, preserves. And so one day I made some raspberry conserve. They were growing in my garden. And so I decided that I'd make some raspberry. I put a little something in it. That was very nice. And my neighbors came out one day and I said, would you like some raspberry conserve? And two little children on tow, they said, oh yes. And we know two little people that would love it as well. So I put this raspberry jam on their doorstep. And I saw them a couple of days after. And one of the little girls, I think they're about 3 and 4 or younger, thank you for the raspberry jam. It was lovely. And so a relationship started to build up from there. So then I had these abundance of grapes in my garden. It's not even my vine. It's my next door neighbor's vine, and all of it hangs over in my garden. Well, a lot of it hangs over in my garden. So I decided one year I made some wine, and my brother and my mom drank it all off. And I've attempted wine, but this time I said, why not try and make some grape jelly? So I made this grape jelly. And guess who were my guinea pigs? My neighbors. With the two little girls. So, off I trotted, made the grape jelly, did a doorstep delivery, and they said, it's absolutely delicious. And through that giving, and through that celebration of giving, I now have new friends. Not only do I have new friends, but I have someone who I can call on, and they have someone who they can call on. And a relationship has been built up. The first Christmas card I got this year was from my neighbors. So we celebrate and we build relationships through giving and by being the church and by being a living, walking testimony. And that's how we celebrate Christ and how we should celebrate Christmas. And my final thing today, to wrap up about celebrating Christmas, is really that Christmas is not cancelled. All the MPs have been saying that Christmas has been cancelled. They've been saying that we can't do what we used to do. And in a sense, that's true. We can't have as much family. Or most of my family are in Bedford. I can't see them this year. And I'd love to see them, but I can't. But Christmas is not cancelled. Because you know what? Christ is in our hearts. Hallelujah. And the celebration of Christmas, even if we weren't able to have any tinsel, if we weren't able to have any Christmas tree, if we weren't able to have any turkey, if we weren't able to have the cranberry sauce, if we weren't able to have Christmas pudding, if we weren't able to have any presents at all, if we weren't able to wrap presents, or even if we weren't able to physically see anyone, Christmas should still erupt in our hearts. Hallelujah. Because the living Christ is on the inside of us. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. There's an old chorus that I used to sing in the church that I was brought up in. And it is, he's all over me and he's keeping me alive, keeping me alive, keeping me alive. He's all over me and he's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. It's the Holy Ghost on fire that is keeping me alive, keeping me alive, keeping me alive. The Holy Ghost and fire that is keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. So Christmas is alive in our hearts. Christmas, the celebration of Christmas needs to start with us. Hallelujah. The celebration of Christmas needs to start inside our hearts. Praise the name of the Lord. So that we can acknowledge the Christ, that we can live and have our being and have our activities in Jesus Christ, that the Holy Ghost and the fire can give us the guidance that we need to live in this pandemic, that the Holy Spirit can give us wisdom, that the Holy Spirit can give us direction that we need. Hallelujah. Extraordinary direction in a time and a place where we find ourselves. Hallelujah. Where we need to do things differently and be directed by Almighty God. Christmas should be an explosion in our heart that comes from the inside of us and manifests on the outside eventually. Hallelujah. I'm a bit of a shouter. I'm sorry. But that is why we need to celebrate Christmas. And I want to say to, there may be some people here and there may be some people at home, that your Christmas is very different this year. But I want to remind you that God is with you. You may be spending time alone, but the Bible says that he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. So you may be physically alone, but you're not alone. And remember that you're part of a wider family. You're part of the wider family of God. And I want to encourage Christians everywhere, people everywhere, not to forget your community, not to forget the people that are in your immediate vicinity, who may not have family and may not be able to have family to come and see them today. But you can be the church. You can be Christ incarnate in that situation. And you can make contact. You can stand opposite. You can stand your how many feet away. But make sure that you're in contact with someone that you know who is alone. And find out that they're all right so that their mental health will not deteriorate. That we can be Christ and we can celebrate Christ and give and be Christ in our community and let an explosion of Christmas come from within our hearts. Amen.